Welcome to episode 26 of Lifting the Kilt on Men's Health, a podcast series run by Men's Health Down Under. Each episode, we focus on a different area of men's health. And today, along with Brad Butt, pharmacist and founder of Men's Health Down Under, we're pleased to have a special guest, Alice Flannery, naturopath extraordinaire, here to discuss natural treatments for erectile dysfunction. Welcome back to our podcast, Alice. Perhaps before we get started, you can tell us a bit about your background.
Thank you for having me back on. So I guess a bit about me, I am a clinical naturopath based in Sydney, but I also practice online and I see people with a wide variety of conditions, including digestive health, skin health, female and male hormonal health, energy, fatigue, mood, all sorts of different things.
Alice, with respect to erectile dysfunction, I mean, there is a place for naturopaths to speak with guys about erectile dysfunction. Do you see that?
Absolutely, Brad. I think it often isn't the reason why someone will come and see a naturopath, but as often happens, once we start talking and we dive a bit deeper into what's going on for that individual, it is something that does tend to present fairly frequently, particularly with men that are in a specific age category.
With respect to erectile dysfunction, do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about what can go wrong with erectile dysfunction? I know as a naturopath you've got a good knowledge of herbs and dietary supplements, but you've also got quite a good knowledge of physiology and the human body. Do you want to just explain a little bit about what happens with erectile dysfunction?
Yeah, of course. So I think when it comes to a naturopathic perspective, we tend to look at the risk factors involved and the causes, and that kind of comes down to endocrine-related issues, whether that be hormonal imbalances, hypo or hyperthyroidism, high cortisol, that kind of thing. We look at drugs, so pharmaceutical medication and recreational drugs, and how that plays in. We look at muscular inflammation from a neurologic point of view, spinal cord injury, sympathetic nervous system stimulation, and then also vascular health. So blood vessels that supply the penis are affected by the same risk factors that affect coronary arteries. So we're looking at the cardiovascular type profile, and then all that comes along with that.
And in terms of managing erectile dysfunction, because let's be honest, that's what we're all here to hear about, I think. What sort of treatment options or what sort of advice would a naturopath typically be able to provide to blokes that might be having some erectile issues?
So I guess from a naturopathic perspective, where we go in terms of treatment of erectile dysfunction, firstly, naturopathy has a very big focus on getting to the root cause of a condition or a symptom. So rather than just treating the symptom at hand, we really look into, okay, why is that occurring? What's going on from an underlying sort of perspective and getting to the root cause and treating that. So that would be the first port of call, addressing any risk factors that are involved with erectile dysfunction. So whether that is psychological factors, as I kind of touched on, medication and recreational drugs, hormonal imbalance, diabetes, neurological disease and age. And then more specifically, treating or encouraging antioxidant support, vascular support, improving systemic circulation, and again, addressing any underlying psychological components that might be contributing to erectile dysfunction. And I guess specifically, we do that through nutrition and lifestyle adjustments, and then through specific supplementation and herbal medicine if needed.
Yeah, well, I think that's pretty holistic, and that's a really wonderful thing. I know for a lot of listeners that have had erectile dysfunction or issues with erectile health, sometimes it can feel as though when you're speaking to one of the people in the multidisciplinary team, it can just feel like they're looking for a quick solution, a tablet here or an injection there to try and make it work. But you're right, there's often an underlying issue, and if we can address that, then maybe it won't fix erectile dysfunction, but it sure as hell might make things a lot better. And I guess that's really important to note.
Absolutely. And I think with naturopathy, we definitely do treat symptomatically, in that if someone presented with erectile dysfunction, which can be debilitating and can impact many aspects of the individual's life, we have tools in our toolkit that help to treat that symptomatically, but at the same time really focusing on getting to the root cause of what exactly is going on and treating that from a more holistic perspective.
One of the things you've taught me over the time I've known you is around the importance of nitric oxide. Do you want to just explain a little bit about the role of nitric oxide in erectile function?
So nitric oxide is a molecule that is a vasodilator. So that means, I guess, in basic terms, it improves blood flow, increases blood flow, which really plays into erectile dysfunction from a vascular point of view, where there are issues around decreased blood flow to penile tissue. So when we look at specific nutrients that are implicated in, or indicated rather, in erectile dysfunction, we're looking at things that help to increase nitric oxide synthesis, therefore acting as a vasodilator and improving blood flow to the penile tissue.
Is there any simple food groups that are particularly good at providing or improving nitric oxide levels? That's a very naive question. That's not a set-up question. I have no idea as to the answer, Alice, but is it as simple as identifying food groups or supplements that have got a little bit more nitric oxide or something that promotes nitric oxide production?
Yeah, I guess so. So in terms of addressing that aspect of erectile dysfunction through diet, so arginine is an amino acid that helps the body to build protein, and it is a substrate for nitric oxide, so it increases nitric oxide synthesis. So when we talk about arginine, yes, we can get that through supplements, and that is often indicated in erectile dysfunction. But food sources of arginine include often high protein foods, so like meat, chicken, fish, also nuts and seeds, legumes, so like soybeans and chickpeas, and whole grains, so like your rice, your oats, your quinoa. They are all, I guess, to a degree, food sources of arginine, which increases nitric oxide.
I think the other thing that you touched on before is that there's often a root cause. And sometimes it's actually really important to address that. And I know, having worked with you before, you know, you're pretty passionate about helping people live a healthier life. And I guess erectile dysfunction is one of those things, particularly if the root cause of the erectile dysfunction is related to, as it so often is for a good number of guys, lifestyle factors. And that might mean, you know, eating too much, drinking too much, smoking too much, diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, all those things we know. I guess one of the things I found really beneficial was that as a naturopath, you're passionate and able to discuss how we can modify those behaviors to get a better outcome. Do you want to just speak on that a little? I think sometimes people might assume that a naturopath is just going to be like a pharmacist or a doctor that just pushes, you know, a medication or a supplement, but that need not necessarily be the case.
Absolutely. And I think that's a fair assumption, Brad. But, and I mean, in naturopathy, we do definitely utilize supplementation and herbal medicine. But I think if you pair it back, you can't supplement your way out of a bad diet. So it's about laying the foundations through diet, through lifestyle, that really set you up for success in terms of addressing conditions. So I like to first start with diet and lifestyle. I think it's a bit more accessible for a lot of people than supplementation and herbs. And it also, as I said, you know, you can take all the herbs and all the supplements in the world, but if you're not addressing the basics, then it's probably not going to do all that much. And it definitely won't be as sustainable as in terms of treatment. So I guess to answer your question from a diet and lifestyle point of view, firstly, we want to be focusing on high quality protein for those with erectile dysfunction. And this is because protein ensures stabilization of our blood sugar levels. And there's quite a strong correlation between insulin resistance and diabetes and erectile dysfunction. So addressing blood sugar levels is really important. Adequate protein is also super important for the healthy functioning of the male reproductive system. And as I kind of touched on before, protein is needed for the synthesis of amino acids such as arginine. So that's a really important one that a lot of people overlook, protein in the diet. An anti-inflammatory diet can also be really beneficial. So this is reducing food sources of inflammation, which, sorry, I've stopped that one. I'll start over. An anti-inflammatory diet can be really beneficial. So the main sources of inflammation in the diet tend to be alcohol, caffeine, gluten, dairy, and sugar. So all of the good things, unfortunately. It's less so about avoiding them and more so about being mindful of your intake of these things and incorporating more anti-inflammatory nutrients such as your garlic, ginger, turmeric, brightly coloured fruit and vegetables. This one is particularly important due to the correlation between erectile dysfunction and cardiovascular disease. So an anti-inflammatory diet is highly indicated in that respect. Removing or reducing alcohol and caffeine. Smoking is a really big one. Smoking affects blood supply to our blood vessels. So super important to address that as part of the wider picture of erectile dysfunction. Physical activity is also really important, as is stress management, particularly if the erectile dysfunction has a psychological element, which often it does. And then I guess more specifically supporting circulation through foods such as beetroot, green tea, turmeric, garlic, berries. These are all really supportive of systemic circulation, which plays into erectile dysfunction.
The really wonderful thing about a lot of those things, Alice, like your proteins and legumes and the anti-inflammatory diets, is that it's not actually supplementing with anything that shouldn't be in your diet already. It's more a tweak of the diet. It's all food sources, so you're going to be going to the shops, to the supermarket, to buy this stuff anyway. So I think it's that for a lot of patients is a really good thing to understand. Obviously, you know, you can get the supplements and vitamins and herbs as well, and they may be indicated over and above the tweaking of the diet, but a large amount of what you're actually talking about, which is spot on, is actually about lifestyle and diet modification to get a good outcome. The other thing that I thought's probably worth mentioning is I know there's this idea of medicine and doctors not necessarily being comfortable with their patients taking complementary or alternative medicines. And maybe there was some truth in that, you know, 10, 20 years ago, but I think these days it'd be fair to assume that most doctors and specialists are aware that their patients will be taking them and are pretty comfortable with it. Have you got any comments on you know, communication with your doctor or you know, people in your multidisciplinary healthcare team about what else you're doing? I mean, thoughts on that, Alice?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you are correct in saying the attitude towards complementary medicine is changing. People are, for the most part, generally a little bit more open-minded. And I think there is a misconception about natural or complementary medicine. It can be very potent. So you do need to treat it in the same way that you would a pharmaceutical medication, in that you're not self-prescribing, you're not going out and buying things that haven't been individually tailored to your condition and what's going on for you. So I think firstly, the importance of working with a qualified practitioner, just to make sure that you are embarking on a treatment plan that is not only realistic, but also tailored to your individual needs so that it's safe and effective. And then secondly, as you said, Brad, communication is really important. So just being open with your various practitioners that form part of your team about who you are seeing and what you are taking, because, I mean, we know that pharmaceutical medications can interact with one another and there are certain contraindications around that. It's much the same with supplements and with herbal medicine. They have different contraindications, different interactions with pharmaceutical medication and with other herbs and supplements. So it's super important that everyone in your, I guess, healthcare team is across what you're taking and possibly and hopefully in communication with each other as practitioners to provide you the best level of care.
Alice, just a question from me. Would it be fair to say, unless like there was a physical injury or like a mental trauma or something, I mean, having an erectile dysfunction, it's I guess not a natural state. to be. It's really, is it true to say it's brought on by modern factors?
Yeah, I guess definitely work. So to a degree, I mean, aging plays a big role in erectile dysfunction. So to a degree, it's, I won't say inevitable, but it's not not uncommon for it to be more prevalent in men as they age. But in saying that, the male reproductive system, so erectile dysfunction is a sign of lowered vitality when it comes to the male reproductive system. So it definitely is brought on or exacerbated by, I guess, as you were saying, more modern things. So stress, alcohol, caffeine, smoking, things, external factors in our diet that are to a degree within our control. There are certain cases where it might be related to an injury or certain psychological factors, but outside of that, I guess these external factors are things that can be managed.
Alice, I know I've seen a lot of our prostate cancer patients, a good number of them, more than I can count, that have been through and seen different naturopaths and acupuncturists as well. And I mean, I quite like the idea of the little brown bottles that have been tailored to a patient's needs, particularly when it comes to erectile dysfunction. Is that a standard sort of thing that you as a naturopath, like that's something that you've got that you can offer, these little brown bottles with the specially tailored solutions in them? What is this stuff? I find it intriguing and very old world, almost like the old apothecary.
Yeah, it very much is sort of akin to the old apothecary, Brad. So that is where we utilize herbal medicine as part of treatment. So we use liquid herbs in naturopathy, and based on the condition at hand or the individual, what's going on for them, we can tailor our herbal formulas to suit that individual. So that plays into treatment a lot alongside supplementation and, as we've said, diet and lifestyle adjustments. But it can be particularly useful for more chronic conditions. And I do find that a lot of men that I see, particularly if they are suffering from prostate type issues or erectile dysfunction, that herbal medicine does play a big role in treatment.
Thanks, Alice. That's been really insightful discussing that with you. And it's certainly something I think that we're seeing more and more of with our patients, both prostate guys, erectile dysfunction guys, and even to an extent with guys with incontinence issues. So I think it's quite relevant to have had that discussion today. Was there anything else, Alice, you had on erectile dysfunction that you thought was worth sharing with listeners?
I guess just from a nutrient or herb perspective, there are specific supplements or specific nutrients that we can utilise that people may be familiar with, such as B vitamins. Zinc is really supportive for the male reproductive system, and then arginine, as we've already touched on. And then from a herbal perspective, two herbs that come to mind for erectile dysfunction are Panax, ginseng and tribulus. And these are supportive from a stress perspective. So Panax ginseng is what we call an adaptogen, so it increases the body's resilience to stress. And they're also both male tonics, so they have an affinity for the male reproductive organs. So these have been shown to improve or reduce erectile dysfunction, assist with maintaining erection, increase libido and all that comes with that. So they would be things to consider in the treatment and management of erectile dysfunction. But again, just looping back to the importance of not self-prescribing and working with the practitioner to ensure that you're getting the care that you need.
Thanks very much, Alice, for coming along for this podcast. If someone wanted to get hold of you, either if they're in Sydney for a face-to-face consult, or I think you said you do telehealth consults as well, how would they contact you?
So the best way to contact me is through my website, which is aliceflannerynaturopath.com. That also has a contact section, so you can reach out via email or Instagram if you had any particular questions about working together. That would be the place to go.
Fantastic. And I think, look, you know, we spoke specifically today about erectile dysfunction. I think it's probably worth getting you back to have a bit of a chat just more generally about maybe staying healthy naturally as guys age, I guess both from being young and being older. So if that's okay, well, I think we'll get you back very soon to have a chat about that.
I'd love that. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thanks, Brad. Thanks, Alice.
Thanks,
Murray. Thank you.
Thanks, Alice.
Some of the information in this podcast may be of a medical nature, including discussions about medical conditions, treatments, and other insights related to patients' experiences. The opinions and advice articulated in the podcast are intended to be general in nature and do not constitute specific medical advice or opinion. Please refer to your own doctor or healthcare team or one of the Men's Health Down Under practitioners if you have a specific question or concern.